Thank you, Chairman. Well, friends, this conference is a chance to look ahead to the Europe of 2020 and beyond. The challenge for us and for the Union is to raise our sights above the present financial troubles and political uncertainties, and to look to the role which Europe, as a long-settled, broadly prosperous community in a fertile continent, can and should play in the world. ARC's belief is that we must, during this crucial decade, moderate our call on the world's resources of fossil fuels, minerals, water, and land. It is, for example, not defensible in our view that Europe depends upon a net 35 million hectares, of land outside Europe for food and feedstuffs. At present, we're consuming these resources at a rate that, if applied to the whole world's rapidly growing populations, would demand at least two planets. We must take a full share in addressing the global problems of climate change, of peak oil, droughts, floods, famine, poverty, food security, energy security, water security, that affect billions of our fellow human beings. And within Europe, we must address the gross disparities in wealth, in health, in life expectancy, and in living conditions between nations, regions, and localities. In short, we must collectively, and by collective policy and will, live more sustainably, more equitably, more in tune with the nature of this precious planet. For us in the ARC network, that statement of values is the starting point for our vision of the future common agricultural and rural policy. And those were the reasons that prompted us to call for two major thrusts of policy. First, a paradigm shift in agriculture and food systems from industrial agriculture towards sustainable farming, which sustains farming and keeps farmland in good heart everywhere in Europe, avoiding land abandonment and excessive intensification, which builds on the regional and local diversity of farming and economies with added value in the rural economy, which respects animal welfare, which puts good agronomic sense and agroecological innovation at the heart of farming decisions, and which gives farmers and other producers a truly fair return on their productive efforts, and delivers a wide range of positive environmental, social, and economic outcomes linked to the vitality of rural areas. And the second thing we sought is a rural renaissance, which can realize the full contribution that rural regions can make to a prosperous and sustainable union, which honors the EU's commitment to social, economic, and territorial cohesion, and which recognizes and sustains and adds value to the rich variety of resources and cultures found throughout Europe. Now, when we called for these two major thrusts of a future common agricultural and rural policy, we attempted to reflect a groundswell of popular opinion, which was expressed during the consultation that Commissioner Cholos launched last year, and which climaxed a year ago. Today is the anniversary, within a few days, of that event. At that conference, many of the organizations represented here expressed their own hopes for the future CAP. Since then, the initiative in shaping policy has rested with the Commission, and the Parliament and the Member States have been debating. We now have the draft financial framework, and we look forward to the legislative proposals in November. This afternoon, Commissioner Cholos, Mr. Dess and Mr. Savisky will tell us the point that they have reached in their thinking. At least I hope they will. They will give themselves open to comments and questions. Before they join us, we have the opportunity to discuss the emerging ideas and, as the Chairman said, the issues that have not been resolved. So, to provoke your discussion, I briefly summarise what ARC understands to be, first, the emerging ideas. 8 points. The cap will continue under that name, despite proposals that we and others made to change the name, with a budget that is frozen and may indeed shrink over the years. There will be two pillars, the first focused on market measures and support to farming, the second, the EAFRD, focused on farm modernisation, strengthening the competitiveness of farmers, meeting the needs of small farmers and of less favoured areas, capacity building, local governance and partnership, agri-environment schemes. Third, the market measures will be adapted from the present ones with a prime emphasis on the safety net rather than, at least in our view, on securing truly a stronger position for farmers in the food chain. Fourth, there will be enhanced greening of the farm support system, but the definitions and the methods to be used are very far from being agreed. Fifth, farm income supports will continue with a greater measure of equity as between farmers of different sizes and in different member states. But again, the measures are far from being agreed. Sixth, Pillar 2 will not have axes as now, but will instead be focused on packages of measures, some compulsory and some voluntary for the member states. Seventh, the leader principles will continue and are likely to be expressed in a compulsory leader element in the EAFRD and with parallel measures in the future Regional Fund and Fisheries Fund, as they already are in the Fisheries Fund. And finally, there will be a common strategic framework for the Rural, Regional, Cohesion, Social and Fisheries Funds to ensure effective cooperation and complementarity between these funds. What this may imply at national, regional or sub-regional level is still being clarified. Now, all of this may sound to you, it certainly sounds to us, like status quo plus. Limited change on what we already have. And the only radical, and to me very welcome, new idea being the common strategic framework between the five funds. In ARC's view, it does not match up to the challenges and opportunities of a new programming period, a still enlarging union, a planet under pressure, a global community which needs enlightened policies from the EU, and 500 million Europeans who need a better deal. So how do we put beef into this sandwich? I'm a vegetarian, I can ask that sort of question. I offer six ideas to provoke you, or six sets of questions, if you like. First, can we shape a set of market measures which not only assure food security at times of crisis, but actually secure, effectively secure, a fair return for farmers on the food that they produced? I offer you what ARC proposed, which was the creation of a market monitoring agency which would monitor margins, the movement of demand of prices and average production costs, and would, on the basis of those production costs, determine a target price corridor for stated products. This could be complemented by a new, fair-priced, producer-financed intervention system able to stop products for short periods. And where prices fluctuate significantly above or below the price corridor, farmers, through trading groups, could reduce or increase supply. Question: is that a manageable proposition? What can we learn from other countries, such as Canada, where farmers generally get a higher and more stable share of food prices than they do here? Could the return to farmers also be enhanced and assured by fairer contractual practices in the food chain, strengthening of local food systems, intelligent use of public procurement policies, if necessary, with change in the EU public tendering rules? Second, can we achieve an unmistakable progressive shift towards sustainability in farming and in food processing, with 2014 to 2020 being treated as a crucial transition period? This might imply a clear definition of standards of sustainability. I won't go into the detail that ARC has proposed, it's in the communication, and a reflection of these standards in the support system. And what does it imply for real, courageous greening of the CAP, with direct payments supported by expanded cross-compliance? You're distracting people. First, direct payments with expanded cross-compliance. Second, targeted support conditional upon clear environmental standards to those who farm in high nature value farmland. Third, agri-environment incentives continued and perhaps made generously compulsory in Pillar 2. Payments for carbon storage and sequestration, transitional or introductory support plus research, innovation and extension services to encourage movement into sustainable, including organic, practices. And how do we address the concern? This is a very serious political point being expressed in the European Parliament elsewhere about green tape. That is, a concern about excessive bureaucracy, increased monitoring, and the need to simplify. Can we identify and spread throughout Europe the good practice which is being achieved in some parts of the Union in this respect, with simple but effective monitoring? Third question, with sub-questions: how do we achieve common sense and equity in the level of direct payments for farmers? How quickly can we move away from the basis of historic yields? How can we achieve equity in levels of payment in different member states? Currently, there are gross differences across the Polish-German border, as an example. ARC's idea was that they might retract in relation to national purchasing power parity, so as to have some sensible basis for relating farm payments to typical levels of income and spending in the countries. Third, should they vary? Should payments vary by farm size? That's the idea that's being explored in Brussels, with high levels of payment for small farms and family farms, and progressively less for larger hectarages. Should there indeed be capping, a key issue in the Parliament, on the amount that can go to any one farmer? Should the labour force that's employed be reflected in payments, with perhaps so much per person employed? And if there is special treatment for small farms, how are they to be defined? Because they vary greatly between countries. Should there indeed be a lump sum payment to small farms to keep the administration simple and to recognise the great role that they play in the European rural economy? Next, how do we achieve coherence between the agricultural support policies and the policies for other things, environment, climate, energy, health, trade, overseas development? Jim Harkness and Tim Lang are going to talk about two of these great themes, so I'll just refer to what we've been thinking about those two themes so they can pick it up and improve on it. In trade and overseas development, we should be more aware of and acting according to that awareness of the impact of our agricultural and food systems upon developing countries. The effect of export dumping, of undercutting prices, and we should really be trying to help them, should we not, to produce effectively themselves rather than discouraging by competing with them. In terms of health, the phrase has been used to us, we are what we eat. So you see a living example of a vegetarian. with growing concern about obesity in Europe, diabetes, the effect of additives, the epidemics arising from contaminated food, and what these may mean in disciplines upon both sustainable production and sustainable consumption, with the latter leading us into questions of education, of labelling, avoidance of food waste, one-third of European food wasted, public procurement, local food systems, and in production the use of pesticides and so on. Fifth, how are we to achieve what ARC proposed and what I hope you resonate to, a true rural renaissance? At the moment, the great positive role that rural areas can play in meeting the EU 2020 goals of smart, sustainable, inclusive development is far from being fully realised. Instead, many rural areas, particularly in the great outer circle of peripheral, mountainous, sparsely populated and underdeveloped rural regions, are being marginalised or under-supported, which contributes to a deadly cycle of decline, depopulation, ageing, loss of services and narrowing of economies. So how can we use the CAP and other European and national funds to provoke and assist the rural areas to be, Robert's phrase, the vanguard of sustainability, of what he calls solar, rather than fossil fuel or nuclear, societies and economies, to sustain and upgrade their heritage as resources for the future of Europe, to build their social vitality and cohesion? How can we do that? And in doing so, how can we enlarge and widen the spirit of partnership and territorial self-management that has been proven by the leader experience? Finally, to achieve this rural renaissance, how can we create an integrated developmental effort, harnessing the resources of the Rural Regional Social Cohesion Fisheries Funds, which is implied by the Commissioner's own proposal for a common strategic framework for these funds? That common framework would provide the foundation. But the integrated effort will only be applied if the member states can be persuaded and enabled. And how do we achieve that? To produce at national or regional level their own common strategic framework. to relate their operational programs effectively to that framework, and to support the creation of sub-regional partnerships and the production and pursuit by those partnerships of sub-regional development strategies, with flexibility to cross the urban-rural boundary where appropriate, and to call down funds from varied EU national and regional programmes. That set of questions and sub-questions, forgive the length, I offer to you, I throw open to you for you to improve upon. I hope to give some answers and to elaborate. Thank you.